Common Knowledge Podcast, just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And right now I have a special guest on to talk about women issues. But before I talk about my special guest and introduce her, I would like to say, when you're doing stuff in this public sphere, ever so often people are going to comment on your work and your content. And you got to be receptive to hearing criticisms about your content. And that's how I met my lovely guest today. She actually commented on some of my content. And yo, the comment was so poignant that I invited her to be on the Common Knowledge Podcast to talk about some cultural issues in Japan and some women issues. So I would like to introduce my guest, the creator of the Steffi Says YouTube show. You can go find that on YouTube. Subscribe to that. Miss Stephanie, how you doing?
Hello, I'm great. That was a very kind introduction you gave me.
I were. You know, I'm trying, you know. I'm trying. Do you want to get into how we actually, like, met and how this all came about?
Yeah, we can. And, yeah, that's totally fine. You have your other project, which is your random show.
Woo, random show.
And, Instagram. Yeah. Yeah, and I accidentally kind of saw a clip of it. I mean, not accidentally, like, I met your co-host Alex one time, so I follow him. So anyway, it showed up on my feed and I saw it. And yeah, something that was said in that episode really set me off. So I left a strongly worded comment. And but you know what? I got to give you guys all the credit. You actually engaged me and we ended up eventually talking each other down and realizing that it might have just been a misunderstanding. And yeah, you invited me on the podcast because I'm willing to talk. So here I am.
See, and that's the beauty of this. And everybody who comments on my content doesn't get a podcast invite. But the reason why I gave you a podcast invite is, let me say, is you made a valid point. Like, your points, whereas I disagree with some of them, they were thoughtful and thought-provoking. Because I have a thing, like, honestly, I set people off all the damn time, and I know. I'm kind of, every project I'm on, I'm kind of the contrarian who sets people off, and I know that about myself. So I'm willing to engage with anybody who makes a valid point. If you make a valid point, I'm going to be the first person to be like, oh, word, that was a valid point. Like, but I'm
which also you did.
Yeah, which I, of course, like, oh, well, let me see where I'm getting this wrong, because like I tell everybody, I'm just a dude talking on the internet. Like, I'm not out here trying to say I'm an expert or I'm going to get everything right. Undoubtedly, I'm going to get a lot of things wrong. I'm just a dude. Mm-hmm. But if you make a valid comment, I will, like, try to engage and see your point. I'm not dismissive at all. But I'm also the type of guy, if you make a stupid comment, I'm like, oh, word? Cool. I can look at, like, incendiary comments all day and just, like, push them to the side. But your comments were actually, like, valid. So I'm like, yo, I kind of want to know what she says. So that's why I engaged in, this might catch you off guard, but I was actually on your Instagram page and I saw
you weren't. Oh, it's so lame.
I was. And I saw this article on your story that said Japanese lawmakers don't back down after peers laugh at her push to protect teens from porn industry.
Yes. Yes. I don't know 100% the details of how the porn industry is being affected. So, you know, but we could look it up. But anyway, as you may know, but a lot of your listeners may not know, the legal age of adulthood was lowered this year in Japan. It used to be 20 and now it's 18. And with this age lowering, like, certain things are now legal for 18-year-olds, but I think certain things are not. Things such as, I think maybe, like, drinking, like, you might still have to be 20. Yeah, a lot of people are worried about, you know, now teenagers might be allowed to be approached by pornography video producing companies or whatever. Might be head scouted, might be bullied, taken advantage of, you know, without their parents' permission, anything, signing off on any paper, whatever. So, yeah, there was this female parliament member. Yeah, and she brought it up in Congress. Sorry, parliament. Ah, she brought it up in parliament. That she's worried about teens getting bullied into the porn industry, you know, kind of against their will, taken advantage of. And of course, Parliament is made up of a lot of old men, not 100%, but largely. And they actually laughed at her when she was saying this.
Here's the thing, right? I'm going to be honest. Like, when I first looked at the story, the first thing I thought is, and I always say this, like, Japan is in so, so great need of a sexual revolution.
And it really is. Why
it's so in need, so desperately in need of it, because...
We could talk about that.
Oh, God. Being in Japan, right? How long have you been in Japan?
3.5 years.
So you've been here 3.5 years. I've been here 10 years. And I'm not going to lie. The sheen starts to rub off after 5 years. After 5 years, it's a sweet spot. Because the sheen starts to rub off and you're like, yo, man, you start to see the dangerous underbelly of the country you're living in. And I would say here, it seems like the hierarchy sometimes is job, companies first. Company, man, house cat, woman.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because they're so dismissive of like women's need. And it's so damn robotic here. And this article just spelled it out for me. Like, yo, this woman is actually bringing up a law in parliament. Yeah. And all the dudes like,
yeah.
I'm like, bruh, like this can't be. Now, here's the thing, right? I don't know if I agree with the premise of this bill, which I was reading the article. And it said, basically, like you said, to be an adult now in Japan, they lowered the age to 18, is kind of like on par of America saying 18-year-olds can vote. But you got to be 21 to drink. So it's the same kind of like.
Yeah, seems similar, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same on par with that to get people more civically involved, right? Her concerns were that a lot of young ladies would be coerced or bullied into getting into the porn industry. And she just wanted some kind of protection in there for them so they can actually get their parents' consent. Not saying when you're 20, you can go ahead and do it yourself. But between 18 and 19, you know, you need to get some adults. Now, I don't know if I fully agree with that, but to just flat out laugh at the proposal to me was just like, okay, this is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of interesting because if you think about it, you know, if they're adults legally, you know, why should they need parents' permission? So like I get like, you know, we would have to really look into it to see like, is this a you know, what are the contents of this law? But yeah, the fact that, you know, she's whatever she's doing, she's worried about the well-being of young people. You know, women in particular, from being taken advantage of by predators, you know, and she gets laughed at in parliament, not only here, in other countries too, but, you know.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. It's not like a Japan thing. Yeah, like, we don't take women
seriously. Yeah, it's not supposed to be like Japan bashing, but it's where we are, so it's what we see.
Yeah, definitely. And that was my whole thing, like, debate the woman on the merits of the bill, because once again, I think I could debate whether or not as an 18 or 19 year old, you should be allowed to join the porn industry if you want to. I think the real problem, and I'm saying this is somebody who dated somebody who's in the Japanese film industry. Yes, I did that.
Oh, well, that's cool, actually.
Yeah, it's a good talking point, right? But I feel like it's more so the contract's the problem. And one of the proposals she had in this bill, if anybody like wants to read it, which is dope, is saying that anybody in the porn industry in Japan, which is very, very predatory, to be honest with you, they are allowed to break their contract and take their content down. That's in the bill. And that's a valid thing. Whether I believe or not you should be able to get in when you're 18 or 19, I truly believe that you should be able to break that contract and take your body down anytime you want to, even if you change your mind. That's in the bill, which is dope.
That's really, that's almost like a... goes into the issue of who has rights to your body, who has rights to images of your body.
And I totally agree with that. And that's the issue that she was bringing up. And look, man, I'm an independent artist. Honestly, I feel like you should be independent now. I feel like don't even go to a porn company. I feel like in the year our Lord, 2022, get you a camera, get you a Pornhub account, and make your own porn.
There's plenty of websites for it, and you could get, you know, you could get picked up, maybe, I don't know, signed on eventually.
Well, you know, you got Patreon, you got just OnlyFans, you got outlets.
Yeah. Yeah. These days, the possibilities are endless.
Right. Totally. Even in the music industry, I tell like a lot of Japanese artists now, I'm like, bro, like try to do it yourself. Like you got TuneCore.
Oh, they still tend to go about it like the good old fashioned way, I guess.
Yes, they do. That's the problem. And that's kind of the weird dichotomy about Japan. It has like one step in the future and one step way back in the past. So it's a whole lot of, oh, you can't do it this way. Why? Because that's not how it's done.
Yeah. They really love their systems here.
Facts.
The way it's always, this is how it's done kind of thing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a better way to do it. It's like, no, this is how it's already done.
The government puts a lot of money into the marketing of Japan, of it being a technological paradise. And really, outside of robotics, it's kind of not really pushing many frontiers, I don't think.
Yo, if you like the Common Knowledge Podcast, check out the Random Show, hosted with me and the homie, Alex Lex Caliber Hunter. On the Random Show, we talk about random shit. Follow us on Instagram at random. That's RANDUMB. Random. Well, making a hard pivot into the story that you just sent me, which is kind of piggybacking off this last story, is apparently syphilis patients are surging as a woman dating here in Japan. And you know what? Before I even get in that, what is your dating experience in Japan?
Yeah, well, I currently have a partner. We've been together about 2 years. Yay! he's Japanese, but he lived in the West for a couple years. But before I met him, I spent a good amount of time on dating sites. And, you know, it's funny because I want to say this. I want to be American and just say it. I made the rounds. But now that I'm in Japan, the way that I say things is so guarded because the judgment is so fierce. So, like, I feel like in Japan, even if you say, oh, I went on a date, it's like a big deal.
You're American. You're from the Garden State. I'm from the South. Memphis, Tennessee, right? Yeah. And with that comes some different cultural things from the North and South, right? Mm-hmm. What was your first initial, like, soiree in getting into apps? Because me personally, in America, it was no need for apps. I was DJing. I was in the club. I can go holler at a young lady at Walmart and be like, yo, what's up? How you doing? My name is blah, blah. And it wasn't creepy because that's like the social dynamics. However, as I got older,
happened.
I do realize it's kind of creepy now. Like, yo, why are you disturbing me? Maybe. Oh, it's kind of creepy, right? But, you know, I would say the culture in the South is that of such that we speak to each other even we don't know each other. Like, if you walk by in the South, you know, the whole Southern hospitality thing. If you walk past somebody, you don't say, hey, it's a problem. So that's the kind of my culture. So it's not like too out of pocket for me to just see somebody and be like, hey, how you doing? But like trying to holler at somebody at Walmart, kind of creepy the older I get. Like, yo.
now that you're like, oh, wait a second.
Oh, yeah. When you think about it, it's like, word, that is super creepy. Yo. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What's your dip in the apps? Like, what are your thoughts about dating in Japan? And did you do the apps in America?
Yeah, I did. I guess my generation might be, a millennial. We grew up with the internet, but when it was still younger, younger internet. So, like, I think in college, there were some websites that I used. Like, this is before smartphones. But yeah, it was like a normal thing to do, but still a little like embarrassing. Like, oh, I don't want to tell my friends I'm on a website, you know? So, but then, you know, over time, towards the later years of me being in America before coming to Japan, I started using some apps. So it was kind of like once I came here, it was easy for me to get into it because I was already familiar with like how it works and stuff. Of course, there's a lot of negative, like there's too much variety. It makes people kind of flaky, all that. But I don't really think it's a bad thing to meet someone through an app because I've met people what we might say organically before. You know, you had some really cute, like meet cute stories, like, oh, I met this guy and it was blah, blah, you know, and they turned out to be jerks. So this kind of really old fashioned saying like, oh, you should meet people in person the right way. Like that's really outdated. People are creepy everywhere. I think there's just more people on apps, so the number of creeps is higher, but like statistically, the percentage of creeps, it's probably the same, I guess, right? Like
I totally agree with you. And the thing with the app, and I always rail against app, the app made it more streamlined to find people. And it made it so easy to dismiss people. Like you can be like, nope. Because in the beginning the app had race, height.
The websites, they used to have all that serious information.
I don't think that's pertinent. But you know, that's what the app did. It made it more streamlined and more easy to like dismiss people. But in the year our Lord 2022, I think the only way you're gonna meet somebody is really honestly through the app, especially during these trying COVID times.
Yeah, I think like it's possible to meet someone in person organically, maybe by chance or through a friend, like, but the chances are so low.
That's in Japan, because in Japan, yeah. You know, the cultural thing here is like the whole NAPA thing, when you can't talk to somebody in public, like hitting on somebody's kind of forbidden in public.
I mean, even just talking to someone, not to hit on them, just to make conversation, people are like, why are you talking to me?
No, why is that the thing though? It's kind of weird, right? Because the rules don't apply in reverse. Like, I'm not supposed to say anything to a Japanese person.
They could come touch you.
Word, like right there, random Japanese people come to me. Hello, I'm like, what? What are we doing? Like, yo, I don't know you, dude.
Yeah.
Hello, where are you from? This is what I hate, right? I hate the where are you from. Like, bro, this is not how a conversation starts. Like, yo, ask my name, how I'm doing.
Right.
You know. But this kind of piggybacks into the story that I was saying the first time about
syphilis
patients,
surgeon
in Japan 2020. You sent me this article before we did the podcast.
Yes, so I found this article literally last night.
Which is funny, right? Because I read it and I was like, when you sent it to me, I laugh like audible. I'm like, ha, let me guess. It's because of foreigners. And I read
the article. You just know it. You're just like, oh, okay. Yeah. So the article, we'll just break it down real quick for the listeners. The article, apparently over the last 10 years, the number of people that contract syphilis has gone up in Japan. And two of the reasons that they listed that doctors think that these numbers are going up is one, because of people, it's so funny, they worded it as social media, but I'm pretty sure they mean dating sites, right? They mean dating apps.
No, Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, like I'm hooking up with people from Twitter.
But you can, though. In all honesty, like, Instagram is a godsend when it comes to, like, sliding in DMs.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, so we can actually include social media and dating apps, so whatever. Anyway, people meeting online, I guess, was one projected cause. And another projected cause was inbound tourists, which, you know, okay, so this article talks about the last 10 years. So 7 of those 10 years we had tourists. But these last 2.5 years, there's been no foreign tourists. So it's like, what, did they just bring it and leave? Or are they continuing to bring it, but they're not here? So I feel like, now this is not every single Japanese person, of course, but I feel like a typical Japanese societal mindset is that STIs are a foreign problem. Like, I've actually had Japanese people tell me, like, oh, my friend's dating a guy from Vietnam, but like, I'm worried that he might have something. And it's like, well, why? Like, because he's Vietnamese. Like, I'm sorry, what?
No, you're 110% right. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
STDs only come from foreigners here in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an STD, it came from them. It couldn't possibly come from a Japanese person. And like you just said, I was laughing about this article when I was reading it. I'm like, for the last 3.5 years, there hasn't been any tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you got to account for like 6.5 years. Where did that come from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the foreign population here is only 2%. Like, I'm just going to point that out here.
Yeah. Well, we must have 98% of the percent of the casual sex, I guess.
Which was so stupid, right? Because I'm reading this, like, doctors think. I'm like, why would you even add that? Like, that is not based in any factual proof or studies. Whatsoever.
Yeah, it's kind of, and so actually, so this article I sent you was in English, but there wasn't an original Japanese article. I didn't read it, but you know, at the bottom of the article, it said that this was a translation. So yeah, obviously Japanese people might also be reading this article, and then that further contributes to this kind of xenophobic mindset. You know, and if we look at the beginning of COVID, you know, I'm sure you were obviously around at that time. You know, some businesses were not letting in foreign customers because they didn't want COVID. And now I could see if they put up a sign that said, if you've been overseas in the last month, please don't come in. But they didn't care about Japanese people coming from overseas, and they didn't care about foreigners living here. They didn't want non-Japanese in the restaurant because, oh, you must have COVID if you're not Japanese.
Yeah, it was a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
When I'm looking at this syphilis thing, and this is like the cognitive dissonance I have, because I remember reading 4 years ago that young people in Japan are not having sex, and people in Japan in general are not having sex. And I pulled that article back up And because it's funny, this syphilis article that you sent me said the number one group is women, which take what you want from there, which it's always women. It's never men's fault. Like, yo, all these diseases come from women. So women from 20 to 23 are the number one problem group via this article. However, the same article I read 4 years ago to say people aren't having sex, guess who the main group not having sex?
Is it same women?
20 from 23. So, which goes back to the original thing, bringing around full circle, it's always women's fault. And that's why the hierarchy, like the hierarchy is company, man, house cat, woman. Because everything is women's fault. It's all women's fault. Like, yo, porn, women's fault. Like, yo, you know.
Why'd you get involved in that industry? You could have found a real job.
Exactly. Syphilis, women's fault. Not having sex, because women. It's like, yo, everything is women's fault, bruh.
Oh, it's yeah, definitely. You know, and if you think about it, yeah, okay, the numbers, it might actually be more women going to clinics, but I think that's because women go to the doctor. Like, women go to the gynecologist every year. You know, men don't have any equivalent to a yearly sexual checkup, you know? So yeah, it makes sense that we're finding more women just because they're the ones that go.
Exactly. And one thing that needs to be said about Japan, that, because when I was in America, every 3 months, I went and got my wee-wee checked out, because that's just part of the physical. Like, every 3 months you go there and you're like, yo, I need a AIDS and STD test just to make sure everything's good. It wasn't taboo. Yeah. It wasn't stigmatized. However, that's here in Japan.
Yeah, our generation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, man, we grew up in the 90s, and it was a big push, like, yo, get tested. That was like the thing. So you just get tested naturally. It's just part of your physical. But here in Japan, it's not like that. It's stigmatized. Like, you have to go to special STD clinics to get, like, everything checked out, which I go to. Because, like, it ain't stigmatized to me, but a lot of men I would know, I ain't gonna call no names because I want to put them out there, but, like, they'll have problems. And they'd be like, well, I'm just not gonna go because if I go, it's shameful. I'm like, yo, bro, you need to get over that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I that took me, you know, because I came from America. I was, the last couple of years I was there, I was really involved in, I don't know what we might say, non-traditional types of dating. Like, so, but you know, these things that are becoming more common now, like polyamory. Like, I'm not polyamorous, but I was like exploring it and talking to other people who are poly, you know. So in this kind of, you know, modern dating mindset, like, STI testing is super common. Like, just go, you know, even if you're monogamous, you should just go just to keep your partner safe, you know? So I was kind of like that when I first came here. Like, I would go to the doctor and be like, you know, I think my chemicals are a little off. It might just be like candida, but like, can I get a test? Because back home, I would go to the doctor and be like, I think I have candida. And he'd be like, well, is it possible you have a disease? And I'm like, I mean, maybe, I'm not a virgin, right? Like, so like, I had that mindset coming here. And even in the doctor's office, they would look at me like I was nuts. Like, well, why do you think you have something? It's like, well, no, I don't. I just told you, I don't think I do. I just want to check. Like, so even bringing it up to your doctor makes you sound like you're being too promiscuous, you know, or something. And I think it really scares off, you know, I've had kind of conversations about STIs or STI testing or birth control. I used to have a birth control implant in my arm when I came here, and that's like really mind blowing.
How dare you?
So I think, yeah, I know. Yeah. And they're like, an implant, what, you know, and their automatic assumption is it must mean that I love sex and I have sex with anybody. And, you know, and obviously that may or may not be the case, you know, whether it is or it isn't, it shouldn't matter to other people. Right. But it, you know, like they're just the mindset is, you know, STDs aren't really a problem. And yes. I feel like, you know, the condom industry is really big here, but the main thing for straight people, at least, the main thing is about pregnancy.
Yes. And I think that's a good distinction to make, because the birth rate has really went down here in Japan for a bunch of factors. Like, you pointed a lot of things, but I feel like most of the onus is put on women. And that's because, like, as men, we don't really like women. We don't look at women as people. And I've always said this. I'm an ally, although an imperfect ally. Like, I got a lot of blind spots. I've said this. I'm going to say it right here, and you can disagree with me. I've always said this. First, monogamy is unnatural. So when you brought up polyamorous, I was like, yep. It's a factor now because monogamy is unnatural. It is
cool. Yeah, I mean, it's at least important to acknowledge.
Yeah, I mean, once again, not impossible, but unnatural. Like, naturally, we all want to go out there and get it in.
We're human.
Yeah, but the stigma has been put on women. Like, all the caution has to be put on women. So once again, of course, you're going to get more syphilis numbers with women because women are more responsible. And guys, by nature, are expected to be promiscuous. And we make all these excuses for dudes being irresponsible. Like you said, we don't even go get checked up like that. Like that, which we should. We should get like our pipes and stuff checked, but we don't. So of course you're gonna find.
Yeah, some women. Men do, but yeah, it's not expected that you do.
Exactly. So once again, this whole article just made me laugh. Like, this is up in 2020 and 2023. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's just dog these women out for being responsible. Because imagine all these women having sex with foreign men. Because that's basically what it is. Us foreign men gave it to them.
Yo, DJ L Spade here. Asking y'all, take a second after you listen to my podcast and go check out my new album, L Spadia 2. Get over 200,000 streams on Spotify and over 100,000 streams on Apple Music right now. I think you'll like it. Check it out. Tell me what you think about it. Hit me up on Instagram at DJ L Spade. Follow me on Facebook at DJ L Spade. Follow me on Twitter. I bet you can guess. At DJ L Spade. Peace.
You know, it's really interesting too. Like, if we think about, like, I don't know, going back to the porn industry, but not to talk about the porn industry itself, but just these kind of typical fantasy categories which show up in porn. Like, I do feel like a lot of Japanese men kind of feel inferior to foreign men. And on the flip side, I've noticed a lot of foreign men come here and end up feeling superior and, you know, end up becoming more racist. And it's so disgusting.
Oh, whoa. Can we talk about that for a second? Because you're right.
Yes, we can.
I'm going to make this 110% like clear. I have known dudes who in America would be fives. Like four, like just lower level nerd guys. And they come over here, they get that little foreign bump, and they start thinking they better than what they are. And like you said, the whole racism, misogyny thing come out. And I'm not going to lie. Like, okay, most of these guys I'm talking about are white men. And it's good to point this out. The white man's kind of king over here. There's levels. It's levels of racism and everything. So is the level of racism and discrimination I face like the same kind of historic racism I face in America? No. It's different. However, a lot of the racist rhetoric from the West follows me right over here to Japan. So, but there is a level of privilege because at the end of the day, I do have an American passport. And that means a lot. Because like a lot of Japanese women, I've heard them say this too. I want to date a real black guy. I'm like, what the hell you mean real black guy? American. I'm like, what? A lot of our African brothers and sisters, because of that, they'll actually lie and pretend like they're from America. Like I heard, I've told the story, I'll tell it again. But like I was in the club DJing, and this one guy, visibly from Africa, like, yo, he had African traits. And what I mean by that is he had socks with sandals, green pants, a brown
you
belt.
You can tell by fashion usually.
Right. You know, he's like, yo, like,
yeah, American dude, fashion is recognizable.
Yeah, that's not black African-American fashion. I'm like, yo, this is not it. And a Japanese woman went up to him and was like, hey, are you from America? And dude was like, yes, I'm from Wale. I'm like, bruh. No, that's not the case whatsoever. So that is a thing. What's your takes on it?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, I feel like, a lot of Western, especially white men, end up coming here and they do kind of end up feeling like they're a bit of a higher status than they are. And it's really kind of gross because like when I was back on the dating apps, I would match with some of these guys and they would make comments like, oh, you're going on a date with a Japanese guy or something along those lines. And it's like, well, yeah, you know, and some men like some Western men, American or European, usually white, like we would have these kind, we would have conversations about funny date stories or whatever. And I would say like, no, I've dated Japanese guys and it, you know, it, there's been good and bad, but it, you know, I would try it again. Like I'm not opposed to it. And apparently, I don't know, like women here, if they only go on a date with one Japanese guy and then give up, or they just tell white men these stories to make them feel good. I don't know. But like I had white guys, actually, they couldn't believe that I was willing to date Japanese people again. And they just felt so emboldened. And it's like, that's really gross.
I know guys who will intentionally target foreign women in Japan. Like guys, like foreign guys living in Japan who will intentionally target foreign women, because the rumor is for foreign women, there's no sex in the city because Japanese men are weak and feckless, which is not the case. I'm going to tell you guys.
Definitely
don't
not.
Don't fall for it. Like
definitely not.
Our Japanese brothers out here slaying. Like they're here getting it in. Like don't fall
for
it.
Yeah. Especially in the cities.
Oh, bro. Like, yeah, in the city, like that may be true in some of the Inaka or country parts of Japan.
Yeah, maybe like, some rural areas.
In Tokyo, Osaka, Nagoya, they are getting it in, my guy. And that goes to like the rumor of Japanese women. Like a lot of guys have this idea that Japanese women are these timid, submissive, do whatever you want. Once you come over to Japan, you're going to have a plethora of women just waiting to cater to you. And it's like, bro, don't think that, guys. Like, don't think that. They're women. Like, yo, they're women and they're people. Don't think that.
Yeah, I think unfortunately, I think it's very easy for particularly white men to come over here and have their misogynistic and racist tendencies be reinforced over time.
But why is that, though?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess Japan is, you know, xenophobic and racist in a different way than America. It's generally not dangerous. But there is, as you mentioned, like there is a hierarchy in a way of the different non-Japanese races.
Definitely.
And obviously white men are at the top of this hierarchy, you know, thanks to colonialism and all that.
Yeah, white men are definitely king. That's first step. Like, by default too. All white men kind of go in this default white pot, and all black guys kind of go in the default black pot until you find out like what country they're from. Because I'm not gonna lie,
right.
If you're a black guy from an African country, you definitely go to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen it happen.
Unfortunately,
that's just what it is. So that's why
Yeah, and you know, you can't blame them, both from a dating point of view and maybe a job, employment, you know, other aspects of life point of view. Like, this isn't only dating that this racial hierarchy exists. It's kind of in every facet of life here.
On the flip side, though, I would say that, you know what, let me ask you.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on the dating hierarchy here and your experience?
Yeah, it's interesting because I definitely feel like I'm a blonde white American woman. So, you know, there is a lot of privilege that I have. But at the same time, I'm like a fetish here, and you know, I am blonde, so I'm a fetish in a lot of places, but it's different, you know, in different settings, that level or way that I'm fetishized is different. And I feel like being a blonde white American in Japan in particular, like, I don't really think that they're thinking, oh, this person has nice eyes or hair. Like, you know, they're not thinking so detailed about why they're fetishizing me. They just feel like, oh, I'm the American, look like a movie star. Oh, I can feel like I'm with a celebrity for an evening kind of thing. You know, which if that's what you're into, that's fine. But the thing is, they don't really say that here. So I feel like it's easy to be taken advantage of. But on the flip side, being a blonde white American woman, I have a lot of options. If the only thing I'm looking for is sex or a one night stand, I have a lot of options, you know, whereas somebody from certain other countries or certain other races, they probably would have a much harder time finding a boyfriend and maybe even a one night stand. Yeah, kind of mixed feelings there, I guess.
No, I totally agree with you. You're 110% right. There is. Okay. I'm going to agree with you. And I was talking from my experience as being a black guy from America.
Please.
Let me say, women are, in general, are the gatekeepers of sex. And a lot of men have a problem with that. And we need to get over ourselves with that. Like, it kind of takes effort to get sex because women get to choose. Mm-hmm. If they don't get to choose, that's called rape. And you shouldn't be doing that. You're a lousy sack of shit of a human being. Right?
Yeah.
Women get to choose. So I have also been a lot of women's fetish. Like a box to check off. And I know I have. Mm-hmm. And that's okay with me. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's cool. Like, yo. I'm the box checked out. Like, oh,
you don't mind that one?
Nah, man. Like, yo, it's levels to it. Like, I've literally.
Please use me.
Bro, like, when I first came over here, I was a monster in my 30s. I keep saying that. Like, at 32, I was a monster. But it was just a bunch of women in the club that would just, like, see me, you know, black guy, muscles, could dance, could DJ, was rapping.
Mm-hmm.
Bam, that's like every image they had of American black
guy. I mean, that's a fantasy right there, right?
Exactly. For
people. Yeah, you know, and if you're fine, if you're just looking for a one night stand, that's fine. But I think that the big thing is here is that they're not the Japanese sex culture. I won't say dating culture, I'll say like casual sex culture is just different from American casual sex culture in that in many parts of America, when all you want is just sex, you can say, no, I don't want any commitment. I just want sex. And the other person will say, okay, that's great. Or, sorry, you know, and it goes from there. But here it's like, you can't really say that you just want sex. Both men and women can't really say that they just want sex. I think that there are cues. Like, I feel like Japanese people pick up on certain cues that we just don't get. So like, I think a Japanese woman would know, okay, this guy only wants sex. But because we don't know that social cue, like, I feel like it's easier for foreign women to be taken advantage of just pretty much like from an F-boy type of perspective. Like, if I'm in America, I can recognize an F-boy because that's the one that I'm familiar with.
Right, right.
You know, but in another country, they give different signals.
Yeah, the Japanese fuckboy is kind of a elusive creature. Like, I'm not gonna lie. It's a different level too. You're right.
They're harder to pin down.
Yeah, you kind of, you're so very right though. They're kind of elusive and they're so slick and sly with it. It's like, yo, I myself be like, yo, man, your game is impeccable, my guy. Like, whoa. I see how you did that. Because you're right, the social cue for casual sex here is so awkward. And I tell this story all the time. Like, when I first got here, and I still go by this. It's like my hard line. No means no. So I tell a lot of Japanese women, like, I don't do the whole dame, dame, no, no. I'm like, if you say no, dude, right, I'm shutting down. It's over. Because when I got here the first time, one of these young ladies I met at the club that I convinced to come to my house, hey, I was happy with myself too. And she was everything I wanted in a woman. But like, when it got time to do the Dirty Sanchez, she was like, no. And I just shut down. Like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Gave her a pillow and a blanket. I rolled over and went to sleep. And in the morning, while I was leaving, when we were both leaving, she was like, yo, why didn't we have sex? I'm like, yo, you said no. Like, and she's like, no, you should have went by my body movements. I'm like, hell nah. Like, for me, that's stupid. I'm like, yo, that's called rape. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, and that was just something that got to me. Mm-hmm. And even now, as a foreign guy, I still like draw the line. Like, yo, man, if you want to, let me know. Like, I tell them I'm stupid. I don't know the culture here. I don't know like signal cue.
I can't read your facial language.
Yeah, I mean, like, yo, it gotta be as obvious as you taking your pants off and your bra off and hopping on me. That's an obvious cue. Like, okay, yeah, got it. But like the subtleties of getting there, if like I don't have no like visibly like noticeable cues, I'm not gonna catch on because I'm stupid. I tell them I'm dumb. Don't expect me to catch on. So you made a great point there. A dead ass.
You know, it's actually really interesting that you bring this up, because the reason that it's like that here in Japan is that culturally, women are not supposed to want sex. They are supposed to be virgins, they're supposed to be innocent, and they're supposed to have gone into this hotel room thinking that you were just going to sleep. You know, that's what that's what society wants women to look like. And, you know, we can see this in Japanese porn. Like, there's so many porn, so much porn is the woman begging, no, stop, please. Oh, I don't want it. You know, but she's all like clearly enjoying it, which, you know, I'm not saying like men, please go find someone that says no and looks like they're enjoying it. Like, that's not what I mean. But it's just because women here are supposed to be innocent and not supposed to want sex, which is just, you know, it's really another way of controlling women. And it makes women feel like if they say that they want it, that they're dirty. But yeah, like to Westerners, where we have this real like no means no culture, like, you know, and we're talking about rape culture and these kinds of things, and people are becoming more aware, like, it doesn't matter how willing they look, no should mean no, you know. So yeah.
that was a weird thing for me. Like I said, from that point on, I made it a point for me personally, look, my culture says, yo, no means no. If this is going down, let me know. Tell me, like, I need some consent, because I just feel all icky, because as I get older, a lot of my thing is unlearning a lot of the behaviors that was like passed down to me, because I always say this, and honestly, I was kind of raised on rape culture, like, be assertive, grab the hand, don't take no for an answer.
A lot of people are raised on that.
That's not how it's supposed to go down. But we get an hour in, I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it up. Okay. Miss Stephanie says, please tell the people where to find you at on the wonderful interwebs.
Okay. You can find me on YouTube, which I will say that my family and friends like my videos. At least I know that much. And that that is Steffi Says. It's one word, Steffi Says. There's a couple other out there, but I think I'm easy to find. And on Instagram, I am steffisays.japan.